The Holy Gospel, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, according to John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood or of the desire of the flesh or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him. He cried out, "This was the one I spoke about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' For out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is close to the Father's side, has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to you, to those on whom God's favor rests. Amen. In the beginning, there was nothing. It's hard to think about. It's hard to imagine. Nothing. There wasn't really even the word was in the sense of there was a before and after and time. John chapter 1 tells us there was God in the sense that God existed, but no start, no end. God simply is, but maybe that's not so simple, because God doesn't sound very simple in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word was with God, and yet the Word also was God. John's describing two persons of the Trinity. Nothing simple, nothing we could come up with, nothing we can really understand. But we trust what he says. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word did something that no one had ever seen before. There was no one around to see it. In the beginning was the Word, and through him, everything was made. And without him, not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. First, nothing, then through the Word, everything. First, nothing, then life. In him was life, and it was the light of mankind. Light really is life. A few years ago, before darkness retreats became a popular trendy thing, scientists were trying to figure out what the effect of darkness on humans is. And so they found a bunch of volunteers, and they put them in these pitch black cells for 48 hours. One of these volunteers named Bloom went into this cell and he did pretty well. for 30 minutes. He was humming to himself, singing some songs, telling some jokes, but finally after 30 minutes he fell silent. He sat there for a while. Eventually he fell asleep, but then when he woke up he didn't know if it was night or day. He didn't know what time it was, and he started to grow a little paranoid. He started thinking about his family. What if they forgot that he was in there? What if something happened to his family? Would they tell him? And then he began to become paranoid about the whole experiment. Are they going to forget about me? Are they even going to let me out? After 30 hours, he started pacing like an animal. After 40 hours, he started hallucinating. It was like the cell was taking off from under him. And after 48 hours, they let him out. And he saw light. We need light. Light is life. And that's not just true in a physical sense, but it's true in a spiritual sense too. We need light. But we don't act like it. John says, no one had ever seen a light like this. The light that came when Jesus came into the world on Christmas. But how did people react? The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. Our sinful nature squints and squirms when the light comes, the light that is life. We do this when we're doing something we know we shouldn't, and we keep doing it, but we don't want it to come to the light. Stay away from me, life and light, Jesus. We do this when we don't do things we know we should do, but we don't want that to come to light. And what are we doing? It's like we're voluntarily descending into spiritual insanity. What are we without the light? Nothing. And yet, what does John say? When Jesus came into the world, when Jesus comes to us, what happens with the darkness? The darkness doesn't win. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness can't overcome light. Just go into a dark room and flip on the light switch. You know what happens. The darkness could not overcome Jesus either, who shines in this world and shine into our life, and we have proof. We have proof that the darkness can't overcome the light, because on the darkest day of history, Good Friday, when God deprived the world of light for 3 hours and Jesus hung on the cross, suffering our separation from God, that our darkness, that our sins deserve, the darkness didn't win. After Jesus suffered for us, he saw the light of life. He rose again from the dead and shone on us with his grace and his forgiveness. We have a symbol that's up here during the whole Advent season with our sky blue waiting for Jesus to come from the sky. And there's a David star, Jesus, the Son of David, and behind it, there are rays of sunlight. Jesus, the Son of David, and also the Son of God, the source of light and life and grace shining on us. There's one of those ornaments on the tree. Maybe you can see it when you come up to communion. The David star with the light shining from behind it. The darkness cannot overcome this light. No one has ever seen light like this, but in Jesus we see it, and we want to stay in it. That volunteer named Bloom, after he emerged from the darkness, he said it was like he had been reborn. Just 48 hours in the dark, but when he came out, wow, was the sky blue. Wow, was the grass green. He said life was so beautiful. He kept washing his hands under the tap just for the sensation of water. What an amazing gift this is. And he said, you could not pay me enough money to go back in the dark. That's what we say when we say things like we said before the confession of sins today from 1 John. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We want to walk in the light. And this light shows us something else, something that no one had ever seen before in just this way before Christmas. It shows us the glory of God. A long time before Jesus came, the Israelites saw God's glory in a very powerful way. Some people want this a lot of the time. God, can you just do a miracle? Show me your glory. People mock God about this. They say, well, of course God did all those Old Testament miracles before video cameras were invented. But now, if we actually saw these things, we would believe. Well, what happened when God's glory came in that special way in the Old Testament to the Israelites? They were in slavery in Egypt, and God gave a glimpse of his glory in the 10 plagues. Let my people go. Plagues of blood, plagues of flies and frogs, plagues of hail and darkness. And did Pharaoh believe? No. He hardened his heart more and more. Finally, he let them go to save his own life. They ran from Egypt, and God parted the Red Sea. They crossed through on dry ground, and God crushed the Egyptian army that was pursuing them. Then God gave a glimpse of his glory on Mount Sinai, a storm shaking mountains, shaking the earth. And the Israelites, who saw this glory of God, what did they do? They turned away from God. They exchanged the glory of God for an idol, for a golden calf. And God said, I can't live with these people. I can't give them my glory. It will incinerate them. It's like trying to put the sun close to a flower. It's going to wilt. It's like trying to put a big purple stain together with a beautiful white wedding dress. These things don't go together. So God said, I can't go with you anymore. Moses pleaded, please go with us. There's no point if God's not with us. And God says, okay, my presence will go with you. You can't see my glory, but I will proclaim something glorious about myself, the most glorious thing about myself. He said, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and overflowing with grace and truth. They couldn't handle God's powerful glory and all his perfection. And so he came in his proclamation of grace and truth. To Moses, God gave a bunch of laws. He said, okay, we'll try this. Obey all of these laws. Stay pure, stay clean, and I can come down a little bit in a tent, and I'll dwell with you in the wilderness. I'll come down in my glory and hide myself there so I can be with you. But that didn't work. The Israelites couldn't keep those laws. They couldn't stay clean. God couldn't stay with them. The glory departed. This is what it would be like if God tried to come to us in this kind of powerful glory. All we have to do is be perfect. Keep all of God's laws, be perfectly pure, and then maybe he can be with us in this way. But he couldn't. Because we couldn't keep his laws. Half the time, we don't even want to keep his laws. And so what did God do? Something no one had ever seen before. He gave us his glory in this way. The Word became flesh. The second person of the Trinity, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, eternal God, took on a birthday. The one who dwells in unapproachable light hid that light in flesh and blood. He dwelled not in a tent, But he dwelled as a real flesh and blood human among us. The Word became flesh. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. It's the most glorious thing about God, his grace and truth. And that's what we see in Jesus. That volunteer who went in the darkness, he said, "You can't pay me enough to go back there." And but what did Jesus voluntarily do? He came into our darkness. From the time we're born, we're trying to escape rules, escape laws. The older you get, the later you want your bedtime to be. Eventually, you don't want a bedtime anymore. When we're grown up, we want to do what we want because we're grown-ups. But Jesus, he was born under the law. He willingly subjected himself to God's laws, to God's will, to obey them perfectly for us. For 33 years, Jesus walked on this earth showing God's grace and his truth, walking in perfect faithfulness for us, sharing God's perfect truth with the world. We have seen God's glory in Jesus. This glorious grace is something that never runs out. What does John say? "For out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, grace upon grace upon grace." It's said that Jesus is like a candle. You can light as many candles as you want off a central candle, but it doesn't make this one go out. Jesus can give us grace upon grace upon grace, and he never goes out. He's always the light of our world. Jesus is kind of like a Christmas tree that's so filled with presents that every time you take a present from underneath, another one takes its place. Grace upon grace upon grace. And what are the gifts that we have today from Jesus? So many. Before time began, Jesus was thinking of you. Throughout time, Jesus planned your salvation. Jesus gave you the gift of baptism, making you reborn as a child of the light. Jesus comes to you today in the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus gives you family and friends to celebrate with. Jesus gives you the Lord's Supper today. Jesus gives you grace and truth every day that you live by and that you walk by. Jesus gives you the gift of preserving you in the true faith until life everlasting. Grace upon grace upon grace. Until we do see God in all his fullness. John says no one has ever seen God. In his letter, 1 John, he says, "When Jesus is revealed on the last day, we will see God just as he is." No one has ever seen God in that way, but that doesn't mean you don't know him. That doesn't mean you don't recognize him. You know, sports writers are always trying to find new things to talk about, 24/7 news cycle. And so they come out with a bunch of nonsense to fill that news cycle and put things online. And one of the things they've done recently is they've tried to build the perfect quarterback. They try to take a bunch of quarterbacks that exist and put them together with different body parts into a perfect one. All right, if we built the perfect quarterback, we'd have this person's head. We'd have this person's arm. This person's torso, this quarterback's legs. Can you build God? You don't need to build him with a bunch of different parts from a bunch of different people. No, you only need one person, Jesus. John says, "No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son who is close to the Father's side has made him known." We haven't seen God, but we could build him. What is God like? Well, his head is like Jesus's, filled with so much wisdom, who always said the right words at the right time, who never was puzzled when people tried to trick him, who spoke with such grace and truth. What is God's arm like? Well, God's arm is like Jesus' arm, like his powerful strength that saved his disciples when they thought they would drown on the sea. What's God's left arm like? It's like Jesus' arms, outstretched even to those who would reject him. What are God's feet like? They're like Jesus' feet, beautiful feet always running to share the good news. What are God's hands like? They're like Jesus' hands, hands that welcome and bless little children, and yet hands strong enough to overturn tables in the temple to protect his truth and his people. What's God's heart like? Well, that you know. John writes in his first letter, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love has not known God, because God is love." This is how God's love for us was revealed. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. No one has ever seen God, not in the way we will see him in all his glory in heaven, but you have seen him. You do know him. The God who, out of undeserved love, has given you life and light, who has shown you his glory. And because you know this God, you can show this God to those around you. You can show the world something it has never seen. John continues, "Dear friends, if God loved us so much, we also should love one another." This Christmas day and every day, as Christ makes his manger in our hearts, let's show the world something about which it will say, "We've never seen anything like this." Let's show the world our God by showing his love. Amen. The kindness and love of God our Savior, which appeared on that first Christmas, be with you all. Amen.